Well, good afternoon, everybody. Afternoon, Taylor.
Afternoon, Dad.
How are you?
Busy.
Busy. Yes, you are busy. Hey, busy. Guess what?
Hey, what?
Spring is here. Summer might even be here.
The humidity says that summer's here already.
There's not a whole lot of humidity out there.
My hair says otherwise.
The pollinating is happening, though.
Oh, my word. What was it? I noticed when we were out, we did actually go fishing this week.
Well, it was several weeks ago when we were on Lake Murray that the pine trees were blowing, and you had this yellow fog coming off the pine trees.
What I would notice was when we went to we actually went to Kiwi the other day, and I put something out on the seat.
Yes.
And when I picked
your phone.
I think it was my phone. When I picked it up, there was a
yellow layer on it,
like opening.
Yeah, all the graph screens had pollen on them and everything. Yeah. Yeah. There's a pollen everywhere.
It's like snow, but it makes you sneeze. Yeah. It's yellow.
Oh, me. But, going into this Easter weekend, I hope all of you have, from my childhood, I can remember Easter morning services, sunrise services. And I remember one of the last ones with my granddaddy Metz. We went to a pond outside of Red Bank for his churches. And I think he died there in June after we went to that service together. But those sunrise services are special.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to wait till Easter morning to have one.
Mm-hmm.
Any morning you're outdoors, is anytime you see a sunrise, that is it's a promise of a new day.
Mm-hmm.
Easter in itself has a very special meaning, and I hope you get out and participate and be part of it and are blessed because of that. But yes, Easter tomorrow.
So spring is here, yeah.
Spring is here. And this year is getting away from us in a hurry. But yeah, can I tell them what I am now? Besides an accountant, a radio host.
Can I say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're a boat mechanic.
A boat mechanic.
I think I heard that about 28 times.
Yeah, that was before. That was about 50 times before you heard I'm not a boat mechanic.
Yeah.
I can't fix this. What am I think I'm doing? Yep. I don't know how, folks. But there's something on a motor called a bearing carrier assembly that the shaft fits through that kind of like makes everything work gear-wise down there in the bottom of the motor.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, ours broke. Mm. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. It's got two little ends, I don't know, top and bottom that have holes that bolts go through, and both of those things broke. It had like a half-inch pushback, and what we realized was we were missing reverse.
Yeah, we were, actually. And
went fishing twice without reverse.
It was not comforting because I like brakes, and, you know, boats don't have brakes, so my brake was reverse, and, yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, but yeah, so I fixed it. I got a new part,
mm-hmm.
Got a big old can of grease.
Mm-hmm.
Those poor bolts were bent. And mercury's out of them, folks. You cannot get those bolts for mercury. Nobody has them in stock. Mercury doesn't have them. So,
but we were determined to go fishing.
And when I was a kid, I straightened many a bent nail on a vise.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took both those bolts out there, double-ended bolts or whatever. And I took those things out and took them out there on the vise and kind of hammered them straight, flat again, and ran a nut over them to get the threads worked out again. And then, Taylor, you were with me there in the final hour.
Final minutes.
Yeah, when I was trying to get that thing back in there. And it just wouldn't go. I could get it within like an eighth of an inch of going back in there.
Mm-hmm.
And just something wasn't right. Pulled it off one time, and there's a bearing ring in there. It's a ring. It's probably, I don't know, what?
That's pretty
four
big.
4 inches across.
Yeah.
And it's about a half inch wide. And instead of having, it's just got bearings all the way, little roller bearings, not little round ones, but. Mm-hmm. Like little half-inch roller bearings all around it. And I looked at that thing. I was like,
I bet that clicks in.
I bet that goes somewhere. And so on the back of the bearing assembly, there's this little rim. And I took that thing and snapped it over and snapped. And I went, uh-oh. And I pushed it over there and I whoosh all the way in. I'm like, nuts, please. That's tighten them now before it flows back out. But anyway, so we had to do a test run.
We did. And honestly, we got everything on the boat. We got to the ramp.
We replaced the oil on the foot, too.
Yeah, we did.
We did, yeah.
But sitting there at the ramp getting everything stowed and all that, and I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the dock, and I'm like, if my motor explodes right here because of something that
go
dad
in the
did,
water.
Yeah.
Go in the water.
Yeah. And so we backed in and I cranked up. I knew it was going to crank fine, but I was like, all right, here we go.
It's going in reverse.
And it actually went in smoother than it did before.
Yeah. It throwing off a lot of smoke there at first. I thought maybe you were on fire or something, but
that was kind of freaky.
Yeah, a little oil in the crankcase and all. And
I was like, okay, which way do I jump, right or left?
Hey, I can now replace the bearing, the carrier assembly in a 2003 Mercury 90.
Yep. And it ran smooth. We had a
good day. It was so smooth running down Lake Kiwi. Yep. I got a video, and it doesn't seem like you're moving except for the trees around you are passing you by.
Yeah.
But there's just nothing. It's just like you're sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
It is really a cool video.
Overall, fishing was pretty sad.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Oh, we ran around a bunch.
But we like to dock fish, Daddy, and there was nothing on a dock.
Yeah, there was nothing on docks. Nothing up shallow last week on Kiwi.
But I can say that I am another example of that fish grease stuff.
The bait fuel?
It's horrendous.
It's not. It feels kind of funny,
feels
but it's not
disgusting.
Bad.
But let me tell you, I rubbed that on my Senkos and my shaky head, and I caught, like, all the fish that I caught were when I had rubbed that stuff on it. And, yeah, it was.
Coincidence or results?
I'm going to say results because I used the same color Senko on a place not too far from where we had started, and I used that bait fuel. And
it was funny because she watched both the fish eat it. Two of her fish ate the Senko while she was watching them. They weren't on the bed or anything. They were just cruising the bank. And, of course, Kiwi's clear. My gosh, we were in 12 feet of water.
Down.
You can see the bottom.
Yeah,
probably 13 by the time you add in the foot on the trolling motor.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we ran into one pocket I was wanting to check out, and the spots were chasing on top, and so we caught some on top water. Well, we didn't have top water. We had some magic swimmers, so
yeah,
we caught some
baits.
Of those.
Yep.
Nothing. Well, you caught some cruiser shallow.
Yeah.
And then from 45 feet deep, I dredged up a monster. 4.91 ounce spotted bass.
I thought it was a largemouth.
I thought I had a catfish.
Like,
I mean, that's the biggest spot I've ever caught. I mean, I caught some 3-pound spots, maybe a little over, but 4.9.
Pretty big. Yeah.
And I caught it on the smallest rod I have. It's a 6'8 extra fast tip rod, level rod. I had to send that picture to Anthony, and I said, holy smoke, I thought, you know, I didn't think I was going to get in the boat. But, 45 feet deep.
But everybody, let it be known that I only lost this time by one fish.
Oh, but you still lost.
But it was only
You're
by
0 for
one.
2. You lost on Murray the other day, too. Uh-oh. Down 2-1.
I'll get it. I'll get it one of these days. I'm going to beat you.
Joe Cassie's coming up.
Yeah, it is.
Joe Cassie's coming up. We'll have to see how we do up there.
I'm going to win because that's where I've had the best luck.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize it's not luck.
Put me on some bedfish up there.
Yeah, we're gonna go up there, and we have heard from one COBB on the Elite Series that when the smallmouth go on the bed on Lake Joe Cassie, it's fun. So
we're going to find that
where
out.
The three of us are going to go up to Joe Cassie and see if we can't catch some smallmouths.
And we'll see if me and Brandon can survive on a boat together.
Yeah, because I'm going to take your boat. I'm going to take your boat. You two can fish off his boat. That way, if he wants to push you in, he can.
What if I push him in first?
You'd best not push him in. That's all I got to say. Well, we didn't get to the counter.
Yeah, we'll get that later.
That's right. Got John Koklasier from the Congressional Sportsman Foundation on, talking about the Sunday hunting bill here in South Carolina. And then we got some more stuff later on, so y'all hang on. More Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. And welcome back to Woods and Water South Carolina. Me and my croaky voice.
Yep.
Taylor, with your schedule.
Yep.
It's a busy show, y'all. Y'all need to keep up, because right now we've got John Kuklasier on. He's is it the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation or the Congressional Sportsman's Caucus?
It's the first Congressional Sportsman's Foundation.
Okay, gotcha. For some reason, my mind just went, "Oh no, which one is it?" And is there even a foundation?
We're the foundation, and we support the Congressional Sportsman's Caucus.
Okay. Yep. There you go. Well, welcome back, John. You've been on the show before. Always a pleasure to see your name pop up on the phone, because I know we got some good radio coming and some good issues that's pertinent to South Carolina. And this is no different. We've got a Sunday hunting bill that we're going to talk about. But take just a moment, introduce yourself again, just because it's been maybe a year or so.
Sure.
But, yeah, just tell us and give us just a taste of what the foundation is all about and why it exists.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Excited to be here, and you know, hope you've been able to get out the turkey woods this spring. And
no.
It's a good time.
Sadly.
Well, hope you can change that soon.
Yeah.
I'm the Southeastern States Director for the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation. You know, we're the support entity for the Congressional Sportsman's Caucus, as well as the state level sportsman's caucuses, like the South Carolina Legislative Sportsman's Caucus there in Columbia.
Absolutely. We were talking when you called earlier this week, and we were setting this up and all. You were born here in South Carolina, raised here in South Carolina, and you even goes deeper into South Carolina history. Take a minute and talk about this, because I think this is really cool, folks. Listen closely.
Yeah, sure. I was born in Charleston, but most of my family is from Calhoun County. And, you know, our first ancestor was actually a land grave on the Ashapoo River. And then, you know, later had, you know, multiple ancestors that fought in the Revolutionary War and also the war between the states, including three ancestors who signed the Ordinance of Secession, including the Reverend John Jacob Watermaker, who signed the opening prayer there in Abbeville when they signed the ordinance.
That's pretty cool, isn't it, Taylor?
Cool.
I got to look that up. It seems somewhere in the back of my head. It seems like Abbeville seceded from South Carolina before South Carolina seceded from the Union. I think I got to look that up. But that's cool. That is what makes this show so much fun. Every time you talk to somebody, whether somebody new or somebody's been on before, you learn just a little bit more about each other. And thanks for sharing that, John. I appreciate it. It's South Carolina history. Gotta love it.
Absolutely.
Gotta love it. All right. So South Carolina, deep blue state, and the South, our red state. But you know what I'm talking about, folks. Sunday hunting on public land has never been an option. And John and I've talked about this. I was, you know, private land, and I've never had to deal with public land hunting. I have done some, and there's a lot of it out there. But there's been a movement over the last couple of years to open up Sunday hunting here in South Carolina on state land, federal land, that sort of thing. And, John, it's where is it sitting? It seems like it's passed all the way through the House and now is sitting ready to go into the full Senate, or is it still in the subcommittee on the Senate side?
Yeah, it's currently in the Senate Fish Game and Forestry Committee. Okay. Did pass the House of Representatives 2 weeks ago.
Okay, that's it. Real quick, and it's a real short bill. I mean, I printed it off half the pages, versions of the bill, amendments, and who introduced it and all that. But it's pretty simple. Proposed the repeal of South Carolina Regulation 12340, General Regulation 2.5, which is the ban on Sunday hunting, and allow Sunday hunting on wildlife management areas owned by the department or leased from the USDA Forest Service, subject to regulations promulgated by the department. Has to go through everything signed by the... But as you and I were talking, and we each bring our own background into this thing. And when I first thought of Sunday hunting, I was like, you know, I grew up, like I said, private land. You know, we had quail we hunted. When the deer moved in, we hunted deer. I can vividly remember a cold morning in November. My mom and I were taking a walk. It was a Sunday morning. And probably the biggest buck I have ever seen in my entire life was running does around the pasture at the farm. And I wanted to get my gun and shoot him. And my mom says, "No, son, we don't hunt things on Sunday." Now, she didn't hunt. Now, don't get me, you know, she wasn't right. My hunting mentor, but she goes, "No, we just don't hunt on Sunday." And that's the way I grew up, other than, like, you know, being out west where your hunt runs a week or whatever, and it's kind of, you just block it off and go. I just haven't hunted on Sunday, and that's where I come from, and you come from kind of the same thing.
Sure.
But you've seen this happen in other states. So take just a couple minutes and tell us what some other states around us have done, how they've handled this, and what some of the benefits you've seen from those states has been.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks. So like you know, growing up in my other half of the family's from North Carolina. So growing up in the Carolinas, you know, neither state offered Sunday hunting. So that's when growing up. So, you know, I had the same experience as you. You know, my great grandfather was a minister and, you know, very religious family. So
sure.
He used to hunt on Sunday. And, you know, I think it was in 2015, North Carolina legalized Sunday hunting on private land, and South Carolina did it, I think, a little bit before that. And so currently, like you mentioned, it's legal. People do hunt on Sunday sure. on private land if they want. You know, you're not mandated to. And it's this big picture. It's just an access thing. You know, we're losing hunters left and right. There's a lot of competition for kids' activities and sports and, you know, just hard to get out, find time to get outside. And one day on the weekend is pretty important to maintain access and make sure people have the opportunity to spend time with friends and family in the great outdoors. And you know, basically the Sunday hunting prohibitions are blue laws, just like any other blue law, like no alcohol sales or whatever. And those have been repealed over time. You know, if you look at the history of blue laws, it'd be like no dancing on Sunday or no stores or, I mean, no commerce at all.
Oh, so yeah. Those are,
now you can go to sporting events and breweries and buy lottery tickets and do, I mean, I know in South Carolina, I know the county beer sales are county by county, but you know, generally you can do a lot on Sunday except hunt. You can fish, you can boat, you can horseback ride, you can do pretty much any recreational activity except hunt. So from our perspective, we're just trying to get more folks outside and reduce barriers to people getting the outdoors. And if you look at it across the country, there are only three states, and South Carolina is the only southern state that has an absolute prohibition on Sunday hunting on public lands.
Okay.
So Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Kentucky, North Carolina now allows it. Virginia, just the governor here signed the law. I live now, signed the bill and the law about a week ago. So that'll be effective July 1st. So, you know, these are all southern states with strong, you know, strong Christian heritage. And some of those states even have higher church attendance rates than South Carolina sure. does. So, you know, it's growing up with Sunday hunting. Now it's going to, if it changes, it changes hard. And, you know, I understand that. but I'll just say I have some other states that have recently opened it up. You know, West Virginia opened up all their Sunday hunting in 2018. National forests, state forests, wildlife management areas, and it's been really successful. The DNR strongly supported it there. You know, they understood the need to get more folks outside, and most of these lands are lands that are, you know, either purchased or purchased in part, where the maintenance is paid for with dollars from sportsmen. You know,
sure.
hunters, recreational shooters, and then in South Carolina, hunters are the only user group that has to buy an annual, you know, a stamp or permit. They pay that $5 permit every year. So we're paying into the system for less access. And, you know, where other states have opened it up, it's been really successful. And so like North Carolina did it last year, was their first time. They opened about 1.6 million acres of their game lands, what they call WMAs, North Carolina, including all four national forests. And I haven't heard anything negative. I don't know if there's been any user conflicts. That was kind of the big concern
sure.
With, you know, other user groups. And they went through and they had a good public input process with hikers and bikers and horse people and hunters too, and try to figure out where they can implement it successfully, and recommended, you know, a big portion of the game lands. And then they'll probably or hopefully add some more over time. But they did carve out the areas around urban areas, like around Asheville and Raleigh Durham and some of those places. But yeah, it's a big picture. It's just an access barrier for our hunting community.
Sure. And you figure, you know, if you got kids in the fall and they try any sports, that's Saturday sports. And that knocks out a day of time that not just adults, but parents and adults and parents and kids can get out there and enjoy the outdoors together. It's
that's right.
That's a limit, but that's part of growing up. You know, kids want to play sports. Taylor, you want to play basketball. Mm-hmm. A lot of Saturday mornings in basketball. Got about 2 minutes, maybe 2.5 minutes left. This kind of would start the ball rolling. Take us through the next steps and what lands might be open and what might not be open.
Sure. Yeah. So right now the DNR has the authority to change the regs, and this is just, you know, basically encouraging them to come up with those regs and propose something. And what the way the bill is written, it would only apply to DNR or department owned. So it would not apply to any lands that are leased by the DNR, like say from a land trust or a timber company or other landowner. So this is just department owned lands and then U.S. Forest Service lands, which are federal lands. And those are open to Sunday hunting all across the country.
Okay.
They're owned by the Forest Service. So it would be just an incremental approach. And then even the regs they propose, I would expect that some areas are going to be carved out, some areas that might be popular with, hikers and bikers and horse people. There's been a lot of pushback from the horse riding community. So I would expect that those aren't proposed the first time around. So they'll probably come back with something more comprehensive, but it's not going to be a fell swoop that every WMA is open to Sunday hunting in the state.
Okay. All right. And I just, and then it go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. And it has to go back through, all the regs in South Carolina have to go through, have legislative oversight. So by no means is this a done deal if this bill passes this year. It's still a multi-year process.
What do people need to do in the last 30 seconds or 45 seconds? What do they need to do to support this bill?
Yeah, thanks. If you want to support the bill, look up the committee members on the Senate Fish, Game, and Forestry Committee. Senator Chip Campson's the chairman. And just reach out to all of them and let them know that you're a hunter and you care about public lands and you can't afford a place to hunt, and you appreciate their investment in the WMA system and would appreciate their support for the bill.
Absolutely. John, you talked a lot. I heard you. You were going to have a go to it.
That's a good thing, though.
That's a good thing.
Because it was good information.
That's right. Good information. Always, I appreciate you taking time to, I know it's your job, but you enjoy your job. It comes through in the conversations we have, and thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate what y'all do. And, I don't have a hunting lease currently, so I hunt WMAs and, it's a professional and personal thing for me to care about this.
Sure. Absolutely. And we appreciate that for you. Hey, don't hesitate to call me anytime you need something. And I guess we'll see you here in maybe a month or so. I'll see you.
Yes, sir. Yeah. We'll be down real soon.
Burn some powder and smoke some clays, maybe.
Sounds good.
All right, John. Take care. Thanks much. Yeah. Folks, hang on. Thanks. More Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. Trying to put anybody to sleep out there today, but that one's kind of we like the Doobie Brothers, though.
Yeah, we do.
We open a show every week with it. So anyway, welcome back to Woods and Water South Carolina. I hope if you have an inclination to support the Sunday hunting bill here in South Carolina, that you will get a hold of the senators on the Senate committee, Agriculture Committee, and it is about access. And boy, this just runs right into what we're talking about, access and people getting outdoors. We know with the pandemic, a lot of y'all jumped outside for the first time ever, and this is never a slow show. There's always something new, always something going on, and I just happened to see something on Carolina Wildlife Syndicate Facebook page about a new wilderness first aid course being offered. I typed in a message, Taylor, somebody was answered it.
Again. Really?
And wow. We have not one, we have two. We have Daniel and Natalie with us. And they have something called the Wilderness Medical Society and the Wilderness First Aid course that's going to be taught on Zoom. And first of all, I'd like Daniel, take just a moment to introduce yourself. Natalie, introduce yourself. And Natalie had a great intro to this thing. She's already been through it once off the air. She's going to do it again. The second time will be just as good. But introduce yourselves and how you where you are and how you came to be here in South Carolina and how this course came up. This is taught in South Carolina. And Natalie, I want you to introduce it. And we're going to fill it out, but take off with it.
Okay, great. Well, thanks again for having us.
Yes, sir.
My name is Daniel Bonthius. I'm a medical student at the Medical University of South Carolina, and I also have a PhD in biomedical engineering with a focus in the development of orthopedic devices. I'm also an avid outdoorsman. I love to hike. I love to camp, rock climb, snowboard, basically anything in the outdoors you can think of. I really enjoy doing it, and so does Natalie. So now I'll let Natalie introduce herself.
Yes, please.
So I'm Natalie Bonthius.
Okay.
I'm Daniel's sister.
Okay.
And I am a medical doctor. I went to medical school down in Orlando at the University of Central Florida. And now I'm based out of Salt Lake City, Utah, specializing in emergency and wilderness medicine.
Wow.
And so I actually founded Survival Med back in September when we were realizing that there's just a tremendous need for better access to outdoor medical education. And there's, you know, enormous numbers of people going into the outdoors, sometimes for the first time during the pandemic. Others, you know, it just had been a long time since they'd had any kind of class to learn what to do if something goes wrong out there. And the number of search and rescue calls we were seeing across the U.S. skyrocketed in the past couple of years. And a lot of counties have been completely overwhelmed with their search and rescue teams in terms of responding to these new calls. A lot more outdoor injuries coming into the emergency rooms. And so all of those factors just made us, you know, stop and think about what we could do better to serve the public in terms of education and access to it. And so we decided to kind of bring wilderness medicine sort of into the 21st century by teaching it online.
Sure.
And so at first it seemed a little bit counterintuitive, like how do you teach outdoor skills over a laptop? And how well is that going to work? But we kind of played around with it for all of the fall and winter months and developed a whole curriculum, essentially translating wilderness first aid and first responder courses into a virtual format so that it would be able to reach more people. And since then, it's just grown tremendously. We've had people in 100 countries and all 7 continents take it at this point.
Wow.
Now we work directly with hundreds of search and rescue teams across the U.S., both for their members and for the people they serve, to take the classes, different firefighting groups, military troops, you know, medical personnel, lay people. It's just a huge spectrum, and it's really cool to see how it's grown in the first few months alone.
To have that many people on that many continents and all that, yeah, I would say it's probably exceeded your expectations.
Oh, yes. Yep, by far. It's kind of the power of the virtual world.
Sure.
In terms of growth and outreach.
Yeah. And that really, that virtual world blew up over the last 2 years with I now know what Zoom is and Teams and all that stuff. And normally I wouldn't have a clue what that means.
Yeah, I think it kind of stretched our limit of, it pushed us, you know, beyond those boundaries that we thought we had in terms of how we were delivering courses.
Sure.
And how we can get people this information.
Daniel, take us through what this course is about.
Yeah, so just piggybacking off of what Natalie said, previously there were wilderness first aid and wilderness first responder courses being offered by various groups. However, the problem, well, these courses were great, but the problem is a lot of times they required people to spend 16 hours of in-person training, and they were offered in limited locations. So a lot of times it required people to travel to go to the place. And for the majority of people, this wasn't a accessible option.
Okay.
Because it's very difficult for people to take off work for a couple of days to travel to a location to learn about wilderness first aid and how to respond to various injuries and medical conditions that can happen in the wilderness. So we wanted to make this information as accessible to people as possible. And we do that now by offering it in an online format. We make our classes compact with the high density information, information that is practical for people to know when they go out into the wilderness. So in our courses, we cover things like splinting bones, dressing wounds, stopping bleeding, how to deal with hypothermia, hyperthermia, how to deal with flash floods, avalanches, altitude illness, communicable diseases, a lot of animals that you can encounter in the wild.
Sure.
And also we are tailoring these classes to specific states as well.
Okay.
So We have an upcoming course for the Carolinas, one today, the 14th, and another on the 28th. It's through Zoom, and we cover some issues specific to the Carolinas as well, such as sharks, alligators, bears, snake species you can find in the Carolinas,
sure.
Spiders you can find in the Carolinas, and what to do if you encounter these, and what to do if you happen to get injured by any of these types of animals. Also, riptides, hurricanes, jellyfish. So a lot of information that is specific to the Carolinas that a lot of wilderness first aid classes just won't offer. A very unique and valuable experience for people in that respect.
You know, I love to go out in my hammock, but I'm like a meat tortilla for a bear, a burrito. I look at that way. You know, and on your website, which is survivalmedonline.org, it has a little thing here. If you'd like to participate in hands-on skills, have the following materials ready to use. Flexible Sprint or Rolled-Up Magazine. I guess that's making do with what you got, Taylor. A branch or ski pole, I guess you would use for a splint. Ace bandage, sweatshirt or jacket, tarp or blanket. So you're actually doing some hands-on stuff via the Zoom call?
Yeah, absolutely. So we go through many different kind of medical and survival scenarios, and some of those do involve hands-on demonstrations. And so part of what I like about the flexibility of this class is it can be as involved as each participant wants. So I have some people right there on the Zoom call with me who, you know, practice tourniquets, they practice the splints, they practice the spine stabilizations right along with me.
Okay.
And I demonstrate how to do that with gear that you'd be carrying in your own backpack out on the trail. So you don't need anything fancy. It really is just, you know, about improvising with stuff that you're realistically going to have around at the time of an emergency. So some people are able to do that along with me. Others kind of just would like to do it on their own time. And so they go back and watch the recording. They practice those skills whenever they want. And so it kind of offers that flexibility for people.
Absolutely. Got about a minute and a half left. And I hate to jam all this in when there's so much to cover. Daniel, is there something you want to talk about for a minute or so and let Natalie finish it up?
Sure. Another thing I'll add, in addition to the wilderness first aid course that we offer and the wilderness first responder that we offer as well, we're also currently working on providing a general wilderness survival course to the public as well. So currently most of our courses deal with medical conditions that you'll find in the wild. But we're also working on developing a course to treat or to deal with general survival as well, such as water procurement, firecraft, food procurement in the wild, poisonous plants, dangerous animals, desert survival, tropical survival, mountain and Arctic survival, and sea survival.
Wow!
So this is another project that we're very excited about that's up and coming, and we hope to have that available in June.
Cool.
But for now, we're also very excited about the current courses we're offering, and hope to have as many people join us for the upcoming Carolina session as possible. We feel that it's really valuable information for people to have, and we're looking forward to teaching it.
Absolutely. Natalie, 10 seconds?
Yeah, I guess just to close out, I'd say, you know, it really applies for everyone, regardless of kind of the level of medical training you do or do not have. I think we've had people from brain surgeons all the way down to 10-year-olds take this wilderness first aid class.
Okay.
So it's a huge spectrum. I think pretty much everyone could walk away with something really valuable from it. And, you know, it really is open to all types.
Thank you. Thank you both for your time. And y'all hang on, more Woods and Water Sack on the other side.
Awesome.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sorry, my playlist is expanding. A lot of Darius Rucker and Hootie showing up in my playlist. Not here. I've got a bunch of, but I'm talking about on my phone. On my phone. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Thank you for spending part of your Saturday with us. You can follow us along at What do we have? What is it? Woods and Water SC on Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is? I can never remember what it is.
Woods and Water SC Radio.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook?
Maybe it's just on Instagram. I know it's on Instagram.
It's, yeah, facebook.com/woodsandwatersc. It's Woods and Water SE Radio on Instagram.
Okay, and then mine on Facebook and Instagram is Taylor M. Outdoors.
Taylor M. Outdoors.
That's what I said.
You kind of just kind of went over that M like, whoof. Taylor M. Outdoors. Yes, mm-hmm. There you go. So, yeah, this show moves fast. Goodness gracious alive, it's hard to keep up sometimes. Excuse me. I have a cough button here.
What?
I have a cough button. I just never use it because I can never get to it fast enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You just always either cough or sneeze.
Ah, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason or another, I don't think it's allergies. I think it's just I'm just worn out. But anyway. Yes, so that was good. We're gonna have them back on to talk more about this towards the fall. When people start getting out in the woods, I mean, there's a lot of people out in the woods in the summertime, but I think there's another huge surge and going back in the fall. I hope some of you will look into this. I mean, $35 for a Zoom call, or you can watch a recording. And again, the website is survivalmedonline.org. And then it's the first aid, wilderness first aid. Let's see, Taylor, it's got a bunch of stuff on here.
Mm-hmm.
Hands-on instructions, interactive medical and survival scenarios. That's what Daniel went through about, you know, the flash floods, the broken bones, the bears. Let's roll on through here just a little bit because I told him we thought we were going to have another phone call this segment, but y'all are stuck with us. Sorry. Okay. Frequently asked questions. Do I have to attend all the dates? No. You only need to attend one of the classes or watch the recording if you can't make it. So even if you can't make on the 28th, you can't make the Zoom call, you can watch the recording. No age restrictions. You don't have to have a Zoom account. I have one of those. I actually have the app on my phone. Isn't that scary? You don't have to live inside the United States. What I'm hearing is I have already taken a WFA course in the past. Can I use this to recertify? Said yes, can. What is SAR-TEC, Taylor?
Sorry, what now?
Search and rescue. Does this qualify for SAR-TEC? Search and rescue.
Search and rescue. Is it? Oh gosh, I can't.
Search and rescue tech. But it says this first aid qualifies for SAR-TEC level 3 with the National Association for Search and Rescue. If you need 2, check out the Wilderness Responder online course. Okay. How long is the course? I thought this was interesting. The online or Zoom course is 2.5 hours. The certification exam is 1 hour. The supplemental textbook and podcast provide up to 40 hours of additional course content. So that's kind of interesting. If I watch the recording, can I still take? Yes. If you're a Boy Scout of America, this does not. Let's see. You have to have a 16-hour in-person class for WFA certification. However, we are working to provide the Survival Merit Badge to Scouts. It'll be available soon. And it does meet some of the OSHA requirements. Kind of fun. My brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that before we went on the air. I thought maybe they were married. Glad I didn't say anything about that.
You didn't do much research, did you?
This came up. I'm serious. I saw this course online on Tuesday. I messaged him Tuesday afternoon. He just responded Thursday morning. Of course, we're recording this early. So, I mean, I haven't known but a few hours that they were going to be on. So I think we did pretty good.
I think we did too.
Speaking of, we do have a calendar of events.
We do. It's just a very short one. Yeah.
There's so much going on, but this is, hey, y'all, if you don't know, I'm an accountant in my real life. This weekend is the last weekend of tax season. Well, it's the last weekend of the first deadline of tax season. I have 2 more deadlines later on in the fall, but yeah, so this show has kind of been helter-skelter, but it's come together nicely, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the calendar events is short because I don't haven't had a whole lot of time to go surfing and find things for y'all to do, which, you know, I haven't looked at SEIWay in a long time.
I keep looking on
that
the
was
DNR.
Like the portal for everything. DNR's got some fishing clinics coming up.
We've
I saw
been
those.
Over that a lot.
Do what?
Did we go over those last week?
No, we didn't.
Oh, these are new ones?
They've got some stuff coming up, yes. They're starting to do some things. Oh, gosh, there's some more stuff coming up.
God, damn.
Cough button. Where is it?
What?
There it is.
That was the cough button.
Okay, cough button.
Are you done dying now?
Not quite.
Okay.
I've got a couple more times to die. All right. But yes, we do have a short calendar brought to you by Capital City.
Lake Murray Country.
Very good. Speaking of Lake Murray Country, the 2022 Strike King Big Bass Challenge is coming back to Lake Murray May the 15th. Line's in at 6:35. The takeoff location is anywhere on Lake Murray. The official weigh site is the Drew Island State Park Weigh-In Pavilion at 3677 State Park Road in Prosperity. Fish must come to this weigh-in site by water. Very important for that one. The weigh-in periods are 7 a.m. to 8:59, 9 a.m. to 10:59, 11 to 12:59, and 1 to 2:59. And the payouts per period are $750, $450, $300, $225, and $150. That's 1 through 4th. 200-plus angler bonus of $250, first place. And if they have 300-plus anglers, it's a $350 bonus. Brought to you and prize drawings by Strike King, Lose, Mammoth, Black Rifle Coffee, and Lucas Marine Oil Products. The grand prize is a total boat makeover. You need to go fish this. Get you a total. It's about, yeah.
Okay.
The heaviest bass. $5,000 gift card for use on Strike King or Lose products. They have a pro night at Pavilion State Armory there on Fernandina Drive in Columbia on 5/14 from 4 to 7. And if you're the first 100 to pre-register, you get a free Lose Strike King gift card. And, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of those, you know, go out, catch a big fish, win some money.
I like money.
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Is this Friends of Lake Joe Cassie putting this on?
I believe it is.
Okay. So they're putting on a Fishing with Friends trout tournament out of Devil's Fork State Park Saturday, April 30th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Registration opens at 7 a.m. It's $40 registration fee per person, but all ages are welcome.
Yeah. A trout tournament. Nice. Not a lot of people know there's some big, big trout being taken out of Lake Joe Cassie
now. I'm sure. Everybody's so focused on the bass.
Yeah, some big ones. This one's kind of a community. If you've got a boat, Rusty Nichols, I think that's Palmetto State.
Bass.
Oh, no. Anglers? What is it? Palmetto. Gosh. I should have written this down. But anyway, Rusty Nichols, I believe. I'm going to look him up right quick. Rusty Nichols. Okay. Palmetto State Bassmasters. That's it. Okay.
Okay, see, I was close.
You were close. Every year they do a tournament, and everybody says it's one of the best ones. It's the benefit, and you take a kid fishing from the Connie Maxwell Children's Ministries Fishing Tournament. He put out a little thing, said he needs 14 boats with two adults per boat to take a kid fishing on May the 28th. The tournament itself is on Lake Russell, Calhoun Falls State Park. There's no entry. Safe flight until 12. It's a hot dog lunch afterwards. And he's got some people signed up, but he needs 14 more. Looks like he needs 20 altogether. So, yeah. And it's early. But, yeah, if you want to do something for someone else, mainly a kid at Connie Maxwell Children's Home, this is for you. Donate a few hours. Get on the water early. Have hot dogs and come home and...
Have hot dogs?
Yeah, hot dogs.
This is hot dog. Oh.
Hot dog lunch.
As long as they have chili on them. They don't got chili, I'm not interested.
We've had some food miscues here lately. Yeah. I mean, the grill up there coming back from
Joe Cassie
and Kiwi.
Started.
It closes in the afternoon, so they do have leftover hot dogs that they keep under a warmer, and they were good. I love how they toast their buns.
I'm thinking.
Oh, I know where you're going. I know where you're going. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Buffalo Creek.
Yes.
How dare they be closed
when you're down there fishing?
We went all the way to Lake Murray.
And then drove all the way down the lake or up the lake.
To fish for the food. and we pull up, tie off.
And they're
closed. How?
I'll be down there next week. I'll call them and find out.
You'll be down there?
Yeah.
Why won't we be down there?
I don't know. Depends on about your schoolwork or not.
Nobody cares about that. You only got three weeks left. Nobody cares about homework anymore.
I'm basically done. She has short-timer's disease.
No, I have senioritis.
No, you have short-timer's disease.
Senioritis. So I have both.
You have both.
Love that.
Yeah. But yeah, the fishing is off the charts right now.
Go
a lot of bedding fish.
The herring bites
going off, I think, on Hartwell. They said look for upper 60s. I think I saw 62 and a half the other day.
We saw 63.
On Kiwi.
We saw 63. We went up the creek on the lower side of the lake.
Yeah, we're on lower end of the lake.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find some. If you go to Joe Cassie or anywhere that's got some water source from a northern lake,
well,
you're going to find some.
Stream, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to find some 55. Cooler water. But run down the lake, I guarantee you'll find
warmer.
Some 60 degrees.
Yeah. So watch that herring bite starting to go off, and there all you need is a white
look
zoom
fluke.
Look
for the seagulls.
Yeah, look for birds. Sometimes those are stripers.
So, yeah, sometimes, yeah.
The other day it was spotted bass.
We got lucky.
It'll be, I need to go. I'm going to go snipe some of Anthony's places he fished last year in that FLW tournament.
God.
See if those fish are still coming up there after the herring.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of the weekend and a blessed Easter. As always, make time to get out there.
Take the back roads when you can.
And don't forget the camera. We'll see you back here with more Woods and Water South Carolina next weekend.
From behind, 'cause I'm going to Carolina in